What a welcome to all of you on this Lord's Day as we gather in His house to hear His word and receive His supper. Don't forget about the half sheet that's in your news and notes, the attendance sheet. Again, be sure and fill that out. Put it in the, you're not going to put it in the offering plate. Well, you can, but that's as you leave. So put it in the offering plates or on the table at both exits as you leave, please. Teresa, just turn this down a tad. Seems a little strong. During the service today, we will have the giving of the books, also the consecration of our Sunday school teachers, as well as our TLS teachers. And that would include any adults that teach Bible classes, Mike and Paul. I'll need you to come down for that as well. We begin with our opening hymn. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We turn together to Psalm 26 in the front part of our hymnals. And we chant Psalm 26 responsively by whole verse. I will chant the odd-numbered verses. The congregation will chant the even-numbered. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. For your steadfast love is before my eyes, and I walk in your faithfulness. I hate the assembly of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. Proclaiming thanksgiving aloud and telling all your wondrous deeds. Sweep my soul away with sinners, nor my life with bloodthirsty men. But as for me, I shall walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be gracious to me. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together. Almighty God, your Son willingly endured the agony and shame of the cross for our redemption. Grant us courage to take up our cross daily and follow him wherever he leads, through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for the 13th Sunday after Pentecost is recorded in the prophet Jeremiah chapter 15. O Lord, you know, remember me and visit me, and take vengeance for me on my persecutors. In your forbearance, take me not away. Know that for your sake I bear reproach. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. I did not sit in the company of revelers, nor did I rejoice. I sat alone, because your hand was upon me, for you had filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unceasing, my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? Will you be to me like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail? Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you return, I will restore you, and you shall stand before me. If you utter what is precious and not what is worthless, you shall be as my mouth. They shall turn to you, but you shall not turn to them. And I will make you to this people a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail over you. For I am with you to save you and deliver you, declares the Lord. I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the ruthless. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. The epistle is from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 12. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. for by so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life? Or what shall a man give in return for his life? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Thank you. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text today is from the Gospel of St. Matthew. We've been hearing a lot of Matthew this summer, and it's great. I've enjoyed it very much. And today, we hear again the words of Jesus from Matthew 16, verse 23, where Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me." Dear Christians, no one likes to suffer. No one goes looking for a cross to bear. We don't pray to get sick. We don't pray for a loved one who is otherwise happy and healthy to die. We don't ask God to take away our jobs and make us poor. We don't plead with him to put us in the path of a hurricane or a wildfire. We don't beg him to give us marriage problems and to make our children disobedient and unfaithful. We don't seek out opportunities to be persecuted for believing in Jesus or assaulted for venturing out onto the streets at night. And yet, it happens. We suffer. God gives us crosses to bear. We get sick. Our loved ones die. You may lose your job and watch your bank account dwindle. Our neighbors in Texas and Louisiana are reeling from Hurricane Laura. The farms and crops of our neighbors in Iowa have been devastated by a derecho storm. Never heard of such a thing. A land hurricane. Our neighbors in the West and their property are being threatened by wildfires. And but by the grace of God, there go we. We have troubles in our marriages, and our children don't always listen to or do what we say. Our fellow Christians are persecuted for believing in Jesus, and our fellow citizens are victims of random acts of violence. Jesus talked about the suffering and the cross that was waiting for him in Jerusalem. St. Matthew writes, "From that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised." Jesus the Christ suffer? And not just suffer, but suffer many things? Jesus the Son of the living God be killed? Peter couldn't wrap his brain around that. That didn't sound right to Peter. He didn't like the sounds of that. And so Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you." Remember, Peter just confessed him to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. And now Jesus is talking out of his mind. He's going to suffer many things and be killed. But Jesus wheeled around on Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you're not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." You see, Jesus had heard this kind of talk before. The devil had pulled the same stunt when Jesus was out in the wilderness, hungry after 40 days of fasting. He promised Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. All Jesus had to do was disobey his father, skip the cross, forego his suffering and death, fall down before the devil and worship him, and all of these kingdoms and all of their glory would be his. But Jesus didn't take the bait. And Jesus said to the devil the very same thing that he said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. Begone, Satan. Get away from me, Satan." Both Satan and Peter wanted to steer Jesus away from the cross. Satan and Peter wanted to keep Jesus from the suffering and death that was waiting for him in Jerusalem. The devil did it because he hated Jesus. Peter did it because he loved Jesus. But they wanted the same thing. No cross for Jesus, no suffering for Jesus, no death for Jesus. Peter was hindering Jesus. Peter was not thinking the things of God. Jesus had already told Peter that he must go to Jerusalem, that he must suffer many things, that he must be killed. Why? Why did Jesus have to suffer? Why did Jesus have to die? Why must he not be hindered from doing that? How could Jesus call his suffering and death things of God? I think you know. In fact, I know you know. You know why Jesus had to suffer. You know why Jesus had to die. You know why he must not be hindered from taking up his cross, carrying it to the top of Golgotha, and hanging on it until he was dead. You know why Jesus' suffering and death are things of God. Sin. Sin made Jesus' suffering and death on the cross a must. And not just generic sin. Your sin. Your sins, the ones that you committed long ago, the ones that you can't forget, the ones you try so hard to suppress in your heart and mind, the ones you hope to God he has forgotten, those sins made Jesus' suffering and death on the cross a must. Your sins, the ones that are as recent as yesterday, the ones that have freshly wounded your conscience and are making you wonder whether you should really be in the pew or at the communion rail today. Those sins made Jesus' suffering and death on the cross a must. That's why God the Father sent his Son Jesus in the first place, to suffer and to die on the cross for you, for your sin, for your salvation from sin. Your salvation, that's a thing of God. That's what God willed and still wills for you. That's what Peter was not thinking about. That's what Peter was hindering. That's why Jesus could not dodge the cross and the suffering and the death that came along with it. If he had, you would still be in your sin. If he had, you would still need a Savior. If he had, you would not be saved and safe from sin and death and hell. But you are saved and safe from sin and death and hell. You do have a Savior who has become your salvation. You are no longer in your sin. It has been forgiven and has been taken away. God has no memory of it, and he keeps no record of it. And how do you know that? You know that because Jesus, who had to suffer and die on the cross, and who did suffer and die on the cross, also had to rise again from the dead, and did rise again from the dead. Listen again to Matthew. Jesus began to show them that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things and be killed, and on the third day be raised. If Jesus didn't suffer and die, he could not rise again on the third day. If Good Friday didn't happen, then neither could Easter Sunday. If Jesus didn't go to the cross, he could not leave behind an empty tomb. But Jesus did suffer and die on the cross. Good Friday came and went. And as the sun rose on Easter Sunday, so did Jesus. He rose again, having triumphed over sin, your sin. Having triumphed over death, your death. Having triumphed over the grave, your grave. And he now lives forever as your Savior and your salvation. Jesus' cross, his suffering, his death, his resurrection, those are all things of God. But you still wonder, don't you? Why must you suffer? Why must you die? Why does Jesus say, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me? Is there a way in which your suffering and your death and the crosses you bear are things of God? There is. While suffering and cross-bearing are in and of themselves bad things, they can be things of God. They can be things that are useful to God, things that are used by God. But you don't think you deserve to suffer. You don't think you should have to bear a cross. You think you should get a pass when it comes to death. You become angry when God lays a cross on you and you give him a piece of your mind. But you never stop and think that you might be hindering Jesus from doing his good and saving work in you. You never stop and think that you may be thinking about the things of man and not about the things of God. God uses suffering. He uses suffering to make you mindful of your sin, of your mortality, of how frail and vulnerable you are, of how utterly dependent you are on him. God uses the crosses you bear to kill the old Adam in you. He puts to death your sinful flesh with its godless pride and its indifference to your sin. He drives you down on your knees to call upon him in prayer. He draws you back to himself and to his throne of grace where you find mercy to help in your time of need. He opens your eyes to see just how much you need Jesus and his cross and his empty tomb and his salvation and all of the other things that he gives you. That's a thing of God. And then the risen Lord Jesus, into whom you were baptized and in whom you believe, whose body and blood you will eat and drink again today in the supper, that Jesus then raises you up to walk in newness of life. You, a new creation in Christ, emerge and arise from suffering and cross-bearing and the death of the old Adam to walk before God in righteousness and purity forever. You are strengthened to trust in Jesus as your crucified and risen Savior. You are awakened and equipped to love and care for your neighbor as he suffers and as he bears his own crosses. That, too, is a thing of God. And one day your old Adam, your sinful flesh, will be put to death once and for all and buried in the grave. But that doesn't mean you'll stay dead. It means that your sinful flesh will be left behind in the grave. It means that just as surely as Jesus had to rise again, so too you must and will rise from the dead with a body that will not sin again, a body that will not suffer again, a body that will not die again, a body that will never again endure and bear another cross. That too is a thing of God. And so we pray that Jesus would open our eyes to see in his cross and even in our own crosses the things of God, and that he would not be hindered from accomplishing his good purposes in us precisely through his cross and ours. In Jesus' name, amen. We rise. Now may the peace of God that passes all our understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.